Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Cover Zero Podcast, the show where I cover the least in the best way possible. I'm your host, Jason Wells. Today is Wednesday, April 16th. Another week closer to the draft. I know, I'm saying it often. We're almost there. The draft is almost here. And then we can really get a clear picture of how some of our teams are going to look like. And this is the big draft episode. I will be talking about 138 different players. I know that sounds daunting. It won't be. I think for a lot of these guys, I might just be saying their name and where they went to school. That's about it. But these are the guys, anyways, that you should be aware of. If your team, and that's the thing, not all of these guys are like going to be like high-end draft picks or like, oh, they're in my like top 150 players. These are just like names you should know in general across the board. Where if I say a name today and next week when the draft happens, if you hear a name that I didn't say in the first 2 days of the draft, that should be concerning to you. Because again, I'm not breaking down the film on all 400 guys and all like, oh, 140 of these guys. I can't tell you I've seen tape on all of them. But I can tell you that if I didn't spend the time to care and write your name down and kind of figure out a little bit about you and how good you actually are, you should not be drafted on the first 2 days of the draft. Day three, go for it. Day two, those first three rounds, these are the guys who you should maybe draft. I'm going to key in a little bit, guys. And as always, we're going to start with NFL Weekly Update. Going to be a good show, so let's just get into it. Probably going to be a long one, longer one, I should say, but let's get into it now. Before I get into the NFL Weekly Update, I will say I just started a job. New job, doing something different, working at Fensol. I'm their driver, but I'm kind of learning everything, doing everything right now. So needless to say, I'm tired because I haven't really had a full-time job since, I feel like you guys don't know this, but since last July. So either way, again, not a great episode to be tired for, but I'm hoping that doing this and building momentum and getting some energy, it'll be a good show. It's going to be a good show, but let's start off with the NFL Weekly Update. Was it enough to have those couple retirements last week? We add another one here. Patrick Peterson decides to call it a career. 13 seasons in the league, 3-time All-Pro, 8-time Pro Bowler, made the 2010s All-Decade team, obviously known as a longtime Cardinal. Patrick Peterson was fucking awesome. Like, when you try to build, like, the prototypical corner, it's Patrick Peterson. He had the size, he had the speed, he had the coverage skills, he could even give you a little juice on the return game, too. He was such a good player. Like, those prime Cardinals years for Patrick Peterson, like, he was one of the best corners in the league. There is no doubt in my mind that he is a future Hall of Famer. Again, one of the best corners of his era, and when you can break down that 10s era, and he's on the All-Decade team, it makes a ton of sense. Great career for Patrick Peterson, will not be a part of the Cover Zero Hall of Very Good, because that man will be a Hall of Famer. Don't know how long he's going to have to wait, but Patrick Peterson, definitely a Hall of Famer, one of the best to ever do it, so congrats on the incredible career, Patrick. And speaking of corners, Ian Rappaport, but technically it was Slick Rick, says that Jalen Ramsey and the Dolphins have, like, or they've granted Jalen Ramsey, like, permission to seek a trade. Like, they're both kind of looking for it now. I'm frustrated. And for many reasons, I mean, just the fact that I'm wearing this means I'm frustrated most of the time. For you listeners, I'm just pointing at my Dolphin sweater. I don't understand the plan at this point. So we trade Ramsey away. We're going into the year with, like, Cam Smith, who just hasn't been healthy, hasn't proven anything, as our number one corner. Chris Greer said today in a press conference that he feels comfortable in our secondary with, you know, like, Cam Smith, Kader Kohou, Afitu Melanofonwu, Ashton Davis. I'm not comfortable with that. That sounds awful. Our offensive line already looks bad. It's again, I don't understand the plan. If you want to go for the rebuild, retool, Chris Greer should not be the man in charge. Chris Greer has been a part of the Dolphins franchise this entire century. You know what the Dolphins don't have this entire century? A playoff win. And I know he's only been the GM for, I don't know, the last seven-ish years or something like that. But enough is enough. He went through the rebuild. He tried with Tua, and Tua, I think Tua's a good quarterback, but the injury stuff, it hurts. And 2023, I thought we actually had a really good team. And no, it just, it hurts. It hurts to see this is the direction. I know injuries and whatever, we're an aging roster, but like the fact that we're just kind of breaking it down this year, we're completely boomer bust, I guess. However, because this is about Jalen Ramsey technically, it's not about me. It's frustrating. Kind of is about me, because ugh. But Jalen Ramsey is the key piece in all of this, where I think you would owe him $21 million for this year, which for Jalen Ramsey, like obviously that's still top corner money, and I don't know if Jalen Ramsey's still a top five corner in the league. But Jalen Ramsey's still a damn good football player. He is still top 10 easily in the league right now, and I think a lot of teams would trade for him. A lot of contenders would trade for him. I mean, a team like the Eagles, who they just let Darius Slay walk, and they don't necessarily have a hole at corner. Like, they obviously have Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. Maybe they like Keely Ringo from Georgia. But if you're the Eagles, and like, the Dolphins only traded a third round pick in Hunter Long. If the Dolphins can get back, again, a day two pick and a player, again, like for Jalen Ramsey, I think that Howie would pull the trigger on that. Like, that's a clear upgrade from Darius Slay. Obviously, Ramsey did work with Fangio. I don't know how that relationship is. Actually, no, it's really good, because Fangio was there for the Rams years, and then he was also there for Miami, and Ramsey was really good last year, too. So, the Eagles make a lot of sense. Other teams off the top of my head, like, hey, maybe the Chiefs. The Chiefs need corner help. That would be a fun one, but I don't know. It sucks, and this isn't the only Dolphins note I have to talk about, because we have the other fucking idiot on offense who's, again, still an idiot. Derek Carr might be done, might call it a career. Yeah, so apparently his injured shoulder is still really, really bad, and he might need more surgery. So it's doubtful, or it's looking doubtful, that he's going to play this year. That spurred up a bunch of rumors of, oh, pick number 9, is that where Shadur's going? I still doubt it. But it's a good reset anyways for the Saints. I think they converted a lot of his salary this year into a bonus, so next year, like, there's more dead money, but after June 1st, all of that dead money kind of goes away anyway, so it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. But the Saints bringing in Derek Carr with their whole cap debacle is an issue in and itself, but we might have seen Derek Carr play his last football, and if the Saints don't draft someone, I'm sure they will, but it'll just be on day two, day three. That leaves Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener. We saw some, like, decent things from Spencer Rattler, like, nothing great. Jake Haener, I don't think that there's anything really there, but a full year of Spencer Rattler, not great. Not great at all. Next note here, Kyler Gordon, the Bears nickel, gets a three-year, $40 million deal, 31.25 of that guaranteed. Yeah, Kyler Gordon, someone who really doesn't get talked about when we talk about that Bears defense and secondary in particular, especially when you have guys like Jalen Johnson and then Tyreek Stevenson. I mean, we all know the whole Hail Mary thing, and their safeties with Brisker and Byard. Like, Kyler Gordon's kind of the forgotten man, but he is one of the best nickel corners in the league. He gets paid as such. Good move for the Bears, and you can say a lot of things about Matt Eberflus. I don't think Matt Eberflus is a bad defensive coach, and you can see just how he coached up the secondary and the young players on the defense in general. It turned into a really strong unit, and Kyler Gordon was a big part of that, so shout out to Kyler Gordon. Another extension here, Jalen Petrie signs a three-year, $39 million deal, so one of the safeties for the Texans. I think was banged up a little bit last year, but he's a lot of fun. Like, he's kind of like a human heat-seeking missile. He's like a smaller safety, but he puts his body on the line a lot. Kind of like a couple of safeties I'm going to talk about shortly here, but yeah, that's a really nice number for Petrie. Like, I think that Petrie's a better football player than Kyler Gordon is. It might just be personal preference, but yeah, another good deal for the Texans. They're keeping that defense together. Again, I've said it, that Texans defense, I think, is going to be very, very scary for next year. And yeah, Joe Flacco goes back to the Browns, 1 year, $4 million deal, I guess, as the backup to Kenny Pickett. They're also going to draft a QB. It'll just be on day two as well. Maybe they trade up, but yeah, Joe Flacco back. Like, again, he had a nice run. Now he's going back there to, I have no idea, but not the same, not the same. And yeah, I spoke about that other idiot a little bit earlier, but Tyreek Hill had the cops called on him again. And it was like a domestic dispute. So I think that him and his wife, ex-wife now, because she's filing a divorce, and that might have been the reason for the screaming match, but I'm speculating. But yeah, they're getting a divorce, and yeah, the cops got called at his place for a screaming match, and I saw people online just being like, oh, well, he didn't actually do anything, this is getting overblown, blah, 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 and it's just like, yeah, like, I get it, like, it's not, like, a crazy big deal, like, again, you and your wife just shouldn't be having screaming matches at each other, but, it's not, this isn't a one-time occurrence, this is just a pattern of continued asshole behavior for Tyreek Hill. And again, when Ricky tweeted out that, oh, the Dolphins were going to trade away an all-pro player, I was praying that it was going to be Tyreek Hill. I'm still praying that it's going to be Tyreek Hill. Hey, if we're completely rebuilding, we're shedding all the aging talent, get rid of Tyreek Hill. He sucks so much. And not actually as a football player, because he's still a very, very good football player. But just as an individual, as a person, he's fucking terrible. I don't want him on my team. Like, again, I was happy initially when we traded for Tyreek Hill, because it's like, okay, we got one of the top three receivers in the league, and he's been great for Miami in 22 and 23 last year, banged up, and then he quits on us at the end of the year, but he's just a bad person. Like, I don't care. Like, normal people don't have the cops called on them, and normal people don't have the cops called on them multiple times. Tyreek sucks. I want him gone. I don't want Jalen Ramsey gone. I want Tyreek gone. But if they both have to go, I guess I'm okay with it. I just don't want Tyreek on this team. Like, if we do trade Jalen Ramsey, and it sounds like we are, we better be, like, again, I think I just said this, we better be trading Tyreek. I don't, ugh, it all sucks. I think last note up here, Max Crosby is the new assistant GM at Eastern Michigan. That is his alma mater. This is also not the last note. I forgot something else. It's cool. Obviously, this is like a role like Andrew Luck took with Stanford, where he's the GM. I think Ron Rivera took something at like USC or UCLA or some California school. I don't know, but this is like a new thing in college football, is being the GM. I think it's kind of cool. Obviously, Max Crosby's still playing, so I don't know how much he'll be involved in general, but very, very cool thing to see Max Crosby do this and set up. I think he made a post like he wants Eastern Michigan to be like the edge university, which yeah, it's a cool role, cool to see. And then finally, Destroying is back. If you don't know Destroying, he was a punter for UCF a long time ago, but he had a YouTube channel and was a really successful football YouTube channel. But because the rules back then, they didn't allow people to make money if you were a student athlete, and the YouTube channel was doing really well. He's like, fuck that. Okay, I'm not going to be a punter in a college. I'm going to be a full-time YouTuber, and he's turned it into a career. But he was still a really damn good punter, and he made it into the UFL again because he was there last year. And he tried to tackle someone, and I think he broke his neck, and I thought that that was that, but he is back, and he kicked a 55-yarder. Dude's talented. I give him a ton of credit. I just think it's a cool story that, like, again, it was a cool story last year when it's like, oh, this former college punter who's been a YouTuber but still doing, like, kicking stuff makes it to this league, then breaks his neck in, like, the first or second game, and then I thought it was done, and now he's back. So shout out to Destroying. Yeah, shout out to Destroying, and let's get into these draft positional rankings. So I'm going to go, again, quarterback all the way down to safety, and I tier off these rankings too. I also, I have my top 50 in here. So I will be listing off, again, certain players and then my ranking. And then if you don't hear a number after I say their name, not in my top 50, fairly self-explanatory, but just let's start off with like a few overall views of this class. In my estimation, there's only three blue chip players in this draft, and that's obviously Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Ash Ngeeti. Those are the three. And what is a blue chip player? These are the guys that just won't miss. These are the can't miss prospects, essentially, where they will be good one way or another. They might not live up to that like fully elite potential, but they're going to be damn good quality players regardless, even if they suck, quote unquote suck. And then after that, I only have 12 first round players after that. So that's including the three blue chip guys. So nine other players make up that 12. It's not a strong top of the draft. And I think this has been talked about ad nauseum, basically. But where the discourse gets lost a little bit, where it might not be the strongest draft at the top, picks like 13 through 70, you might be able to find a starter. Now, obviously, not all of those picks are going to be like quality NFL players, but there will be a lot of guys in those picks that will be starting come week one in September. So while it's not a high-end draft like it was last year, like last year's first round was just chalked with talent up and down. Like, I think I had 20-plus first-round grades last year. But it's good depth-wise. There's a ton of deep positions in this draft, and we'll talk about it when we get to it. But, yeah, and I think my last note, just lots of guys who were injured, and I talked about this a little bit last week, lots of guys who were injured, but put on the 2023 tape. They look really good. Don't worry about the injuries too much, obviously. I don't know what the medicals are. These teams do, but they know best. But I'd be wary of like knocking a guy because, oh, he's been injured, when me and you have no idea how injured these guys actually are. If we see some steep drops, I guess we know how injured they actually are. But let's start off with the QBs. And in the first tier, I have, I guess, this is Shedeur Sanders out of Colorado, my 39th ranked player, and then Cam Ward out of Miami, my number 46th ranked player. I'm going to try to be nice, and I haven't been nice to this quarterback class whatsoever, but I will try to be nice at least about these two guys. Shedeur, I think, if he wasn't Deion Sanders' son, which is obviously a good thing, but having the spotlight and having everything on him, and if he would have went, because he was a good high school player. Like, this wasn't like, he's Deion's son, so he was just the starter. Like, he's a very good college quarterback. And I think he was a four-star prospect. Like, he could have went to a Bama or a Clemson or a wherever and probably put up very good stats regardless of where he was and who he was playing with. But that's just kind of what I think Sanders is. And people say, like, oh, if he went to Bama instead of Colorado, he'd be a surefire top 10 pick. And that's where I kind of think the discourse gets lost a little bit. I think Shedeur is a good quarterback. Again, my pro comp to him is Teddy Bridgewater. Knowing what I know about Teddy Bridgewater and how his career went, would I draft Teddy in the first 10 picks? No. Back end of the first round? Maybe. But I don't know if I would trade up, give up future assets for someone like that. And Shedeur is my QB1 in this draft. Like, this is how I'm talking about my so-called QB1. Like, again, good player. I think Shedeur will have a 10-year career. I don't know how productive that 10-year career will be, but I think he's a guy who will stick around. And that's kind of my difference with him and Cam Ward. Cam Ward, again, I've talked it. I think there's just a lot of Zach Wilson-type stuff in his game where it works in college. I don't know if it will in the NFL, but why Cam Ward is going to go first overall and why someone like Shedeur, where there's rumors of him sliding to like maybe the back half of the first, it's because there's the eye-popping, the jaw-dropping throws and traits that Cam Ward has, where if everything goes right for Cam Ward has the tools to be like a top 5, top 10 quarterback in the league, where I don't think someone like Shedeur does. Like, maybe if he hits his absolute peak, like a fringe top 10 guy, but that puts him in my like Goff, Purdy, Tua, like Baker, like that type of range, which is good. But do you take that guy first overall? Where a guy like Cam Ward, who he might flame out in 1, 2, 3 years, might not see the end of his rookie contract. Like, I have no idea. But you bank on that upside, I guess. Again, if I'm the Titans GM, I'm not picking Cam Ward. I'm not putting my faith in my job on the line to draft someone like Cam Ward. And unfortunately for the Titans fans, I think they're going to draft Cam Ward. I think Brian Callahan's going to get fired next year because this new GM and their whole power struggle. But again, I said I'll talk nice about Cam Ward, and I can't just be like, I think Cam Ward's going to be a bust. That's why he's my 46th ranked player. The story of Cam Ward is great. He was a zero-star recruit out of high school. He had to really earn his way. He went to Washington State, played some great football there, transferred to Miami in his senior year, and obviously, again, he's going to be first overall, has risen to the occasion. Like, that Miami team, their defense was absolutely atrocious, and Cam Ward kept them in almost every single game last year. But again, the story is great. The stuff, the highlight reel from Cam Ward, it's awesome. It's fun. I don't know if fun translates to the NFL. It obviously does in certain cases, like guys with Lamar, Jaden Daniels. I just don't think that Cam Ward has enough of that, like, talent. Where, like, again, could he be a Kyler Murray? Yeah, sure. Kyler Murray is supremely talented. He's in my, like, 10 to 20 range of quarterback. Like, and that's what maybe Cam Ward can be. I don't think he's going to be one of the elite guys. I think at his best is like a Kyler Murray, again, not like a actual comparison, but like kind of type quarterback where like, he's really good some games he disappears. Like, that might be Cam Ward's ceiling. I just don't see that. I just wouldn't pick a quarterback if I was some GMs this year, but we can talk about the other guys here. So the next tier is sure. Like, yeah. So at number, and then we got, I have numbers next to them, but they're not ranked. But we got Jalen Milroe out of Bama, Taylor Eldersma out of Laurier, Tyler Shuck out of Louisville. Actually, okay, I'm going to do this differently. So Jalen Milroe, I'll get back to. Tyler Shuck, or not that. Taylor Eldersma out of Laurier, obviously the Canadian guy, the Canadian Heisman winner, went to the Senior Bowl, has all the traits, a lot of fun. Tyler Shuck out of Louisville, 26 years old. I think that's kind of all I need to say. He was Justin Herbert's backup. Like, yeah, like he should be kicking everyone's ass in his sixth year of college football. But he might go day two, sure. Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss. People talking to him like, oh, Dan Orlovsky, top 10 pick. That makes no sense to me. Jackson Dart doesn't even have like the high-end traits like a Cam Ward where it's like, oh, if things just unlock. Again, he's like Walmart Josh Allen with none of the Josh Allen really good traits. Everything's dumbed down, not good, is what it is. Then we got Riley Leonard out of Notre Dame who runs like Josh Allen, doesn't throw like Josh Allen, but hey, he's an athletic quarterback, and those guys have roles and can fit in certain ways anyways. Curtis Rourke out of Indiana, another Canadian kid. He's pretty good. Kyle McCord out of Syracuse, obviously Ohio State's old quarterback. Then he transferred, and Will Howard goes there. Kyle McCord has like a decent arm anyways, like pretty strong anyways, maybe one of the best arms in this class, but like, he's not good. Don't kid yourself. Will Howard, or actually Quinn Ewers out of Texas, who the hype was there out of high school, five-star prospect, oh, he's going to be the next generational guy, and lots of injuries. I don't think that Texas is that great of a school anyways. I don't think Sark is that good of a coach, at least like to develop guys, because you look at the firepower that Texas offense has had. I'm not putting all of that on on Quinn Ewers. Obviously, he missed a lot of like throws and stuff like that, but like, I don't know. It should be better if you constantly put out first-round receivers and like NFL talent, but I digress. Quinn Ewers is fine. Will Howard out of Ohio State, like, maybe a backup. I think Will Howard kind of stinks. Dylan Gabriel out of Oregon. Again, I put him as a name. I think Dylan Gabriel shouldn't be drafted. I think he's just bad. But again, it's a notable name. He's played for Oregon. A name we don't know, though, Tommy Mellott out of Montana State. He ran a 4.39 at his pro day. Also did some wide receiver drills, but that's a fun name. But I'm going to go back to Jalen Milroe just quickly here. Jalen Milroe obviously has all of the tools, or all of the athletic tools that you could possibly want. Like, he is just a smaller version of Anthony Richardson, where there's a reason why Anthony Richardson went in the top five is because he has the prototypical size. He has the crazy rocket arm. He has, again, all of this, like, he's the most athletic quarterback to ever test at the combine. And Jalen Milroe has that stuff too. Like, it was rumored, oh, he ran like a 4.4, maybe a high 4.3 at his pro day. So he is my QB3. Is he in my top 50? Absolutely not. But Jalen Milroe is my QB3. And I don't know if he's going to work out as an actual quarterback. But I think, again, hindsight, looking at the Anthony Richardson stuff, if you could have picked Anthony Richardson in round two, round three, knowing he was a project, maybe back half of first round, just because everything there athletically and like just profile wise was there, where Jalen Milroe's like a kind of on the smaller end, not really. Like, that's when you like take a Jalen Milroe. Jalen Milroe got invited to the draft. Apparently he might go in the first round. That's absolutely nuts to me. Where you don't take Jalen Milroe in the first round. You take a guy like Jalen Milroe round two, round three, when you know that, okay, this is a total project, but if we hit it, it's going to work. And give Jalen Milroe all the time in the world to try to work out to be a quarterback. And when I say that, maybe like 2-3 years, you know pretty instantly if like a quarterback has it or not. So whoever does draft him will find out. But the reason I like Jalen Milroe so much is not for what he really does as a quarterback, but what he does as an athlete in general, where why can't Jalen Milroe be the next Taysom Hill? He's far more athletic than Taysom Hill. I think he has a better arm than Taysom Hill. I don't know, something to think about. Like, again, it's kind of like Anthony Richardson too, where those guys, like, when you're just a freak athlete, you should just find a role in the NFL in general, where I don't know how much those guys want to get hit that much or tackle or whatever, but when you're that much of an athlete, you can carve out an NFL role in different ways. But by all means, let Jalen Milroe try to be a quarterback first, because if he can make that work, he's going to be a damn good NFL quarterback. But if it doesn't work, which I don't think it will, maybe he's the next Taysom Hill. And that sounds like a really, really fun player. But I digress. I think I want everyone to be the next Taysom Hill, and that's kind of unfair. Let's go on to these running backs now. So we have the elite. That's Ashton Jeanty. I don't have to talk about him out of Boise State. Absolutely incredible season. One of the best running back seasons in college football history. The man's an animal. Then we have the my kind of running backs. And these are Omarion Hampton out of North Carolina. He's my number 24 ranked player. Again, a lot of fun. Will probably get taken in the first round as well. I have Caleb Johnson out of Iowa at 32. Big bruising running back, but he can also kind of, like, he can cut really well, find the lane, but he has no problem running you over. And again, that's my kind of running back. Quinshon Judkins out of Ohio State. Again, didn't have as big of a year as some people thought when he transferred from Ole Miss to Ohio State, but still very fun player. Power running back. Again, I love my power running backs. Devin Neal out of Kansas. That's my guy. Like, not like actually my guy, but like Devin Neal, 6 foot, 220. He will put you on the ground in multiple ways. He's also a pretty damn good receiving threat. Cam Scadaboo out of ASU. The man can do it all. He can run, he can pass, he can catch. He's a lot of fun to watch. Travion Henderson out of Ohio State. Someone who's been talked about, and I have him lower here in my like rankings, but like he will maybe get picked day one, early day two. All of these running backs, I think that all of the guys I just mentioned will probably be picked on the first 2 days of the draft, which is crazy to me. But Travion Henderson, explosive runner, very, very good in pass protection. Someone who I don't know if he will live up to the hype and the expectations, but someone who I think might have a longer career than most of these guys I've already named. Then we have Ollie Gordon out of Oklahoma State. Ollie Gordon is someone who I thought was going to have a better 2024. He had an excellent 2023. His 2023 season was awesome. He's one of these bigger bruising backs too, who he can catch. He can make guys miss. And the 24 tape, it was still there, but that Oklahoma State team was clearly not as good as the 23 team. When you look at that 23 team and you look at that 23 tape for him, Ollie Gordon's different. And if you can get back to that Ollie Gordon, I think that would be awesome. He's definitely someone that I want to target as a Dolphins fan, but that's usually not the type of running back that we look for anyways. And then the others here, we got Damian Martinez out of Miami, Raheem Sanders out of Arkansas. And I really like Raheem Sanders. And mainly it might just because his name is Rocket Sanders, Raheem Rocket Sanders, and that's just an incredible nickname. But also one of these bigger backs, and he is fast. Like, he has the nickname Rocket for a reason, where if he gets in space and he hits his hole, he's going. Also a very good pass catcher out of the backfield, too, where Sanders is probably going to go, like, round five, round six, maybe. And I think that's going to be a steal for whoever gets him. He is one of my favorite players, one of my favorite running backs in this draft. Then other guys, we got DJ Giddens out of Kansas State, RJ Harvey out of UCF, who's getting a lot of love from a lot of draft guys, Bishal Tuten out of Virginia Tech, who was the fastest running back at the Combine, and then Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee, who I don't really understand, but a lot of other guys like, so I wrote him down. On to wide receivers here, Travis Hunter, my number one player. It's obvious, he's just fantastic. He's a very, very good wide receiver. I don't know, like OBJ-esque, like, which is a crazy thing to say, but like, and the fact that like wide receiver is in his primary position, like he was a corner. There's the reason he went to Jacksonville State was because of Deion, and Deion being one of the best corners in the league. Like Travis Hunter, he's not a wide receiver first. He might be a wide receiver first when he gets to the NFL. He still wants to play both ways. I don't know, but the fact that I can talk about him as like, oh, he's like an OBJ kind of prospect, that's crazy. And wide receiver is not his best position, in my opinion. So that's nuts. Tet McMillan out of Arizona at 12. Getting overthought of. Tet is absolutely awesome. At number three, Emeka Ebuka out of Ohio State, my number 25th ranked player. Emeka Ebuka is someone who, going into the draft this year, I knew the name. I've been hearing Emeka Ebuka for the past two drafts, and every draft cycle, it seems to go the same, where, Emeka Ebuka might be the top wide receiver drafted in this upcoming draft, and every single year, guys surpass him, and he just kind of stays the same, and he goes back to school, and now he's finally declared. And the same thing happened again, where, Emeka Ebuka might be wide receiver one in this draft class, and then Travis Hunter passed him, Tet McMillan passed him, people argue Matthew Golden or Luther Burden are ahead of him. I digress. And I don't think that Ebuka is going to be a true wide receiver one, but he is going to, again, I talk about these guys who are just going to have like 10-year careers in the league, that's going to be him. He does all of the dirty work. He's like, there's not a single thing that he does poorly as a wide receiver. I think that he can basically fill any role you want in an offense. Ideally, you put him in a slot as a power slot, but he's a very good route runner. He is a physical run blocker too. Again, there's a reason why I think he's going to have a 10-year career, because he's just going to be a productive wide receiver too for someone in the league. That I can guarantee. So, shout out to Emeka Ebuka. Then we have Luther Burden out of Missouri as my number 31 ranked player. Again, turn on that 23 tape. It was much better than the 24 tape. You can see the high-end potential of what Luther Burden could be, but if someone drafts him, doesn't use him properly, then it could go on the wayside very quickly. Matthew Golden at 38 out of Texas. Again, the fastest receiver in the draft who that speed doesn't show up on tape, which sounds like a bad thing. It's not. The fact that Matthew Golden's speed isn't his thing in his game, it's kind of nice. And the reason I have him lower than some of these other guys is, again, like Abuka, I just think he's going to be a solid wide receiver too if he lives up to that potential. I don't see him being a wide receiver one, but again, I think he's just going to be a very productive wide receiver at the next level in general. Jaden Higgins out of Iowa State at 43. The bigger of the two Iowa State receivers, but really athletic, might do his best work in the slot, even given his, I think his 6'4 frame, but good player. Jack Besh out of TCU at 45. Jack Besh is someone who doesn't get talked about a ton. He is athletic. He's not one of the most athletic guys, but he is in the upper echelon of again, he's not a freak athlete, but he's a very good athlete. And you can see that on the tape. He makes people miss. He breaks tackles. He's great at getting to the high point to make a catch. Very savvy route runner anyways. And let's not forget that Jack Besh was in a wide receiving room with Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., Kayshon Boutte, and Trey Palmer as a freshman at LSU, and he led them all in catches. Jack Besh led them all in catches in that group. We know how good BTJ and Nabers are. Boots, maybe for the Patriots. I think Trey Palmer's on the Cardinals, maybe? I have no out. No, Trey Palmer's on the Bucks. What am I saying? But Jack Besh led the team as a freshman in catches over those guys. So something to keep it down. I like Jack Besh a lot. I think he's going to be very good. Alec Iomanner out of Stanford, who I talked about a couple shows ago, another Canadian kid. Gave Travis Hunter the business in 2023. Jalen Knoll out of Iowa State. Again, Jaden Higgins' running mate, but going to be a good slot receiver anyways in the league. Jalen Royals out of Utah State. You want to talk about someone who can, his yak ability when he gets the ball in his hands and the way he can make guys miss, that's Jalen Royals. Kyle Williams out of Washington State. I think that this is Chris Sims' number two receiver in the whole thing. Kyle Williams has become everyone's oh, this is my sleeper pick, or this is my sleeper wide receiver pick, and he's just kind of become everyone's sleeper wide receiver pick, which isn't a bad thing. Good for Kyle Williams. We got Savion Williams out of TCU. Another big athletic freak, I think 6'5", runs a low 4.4, tested really, really well at the combine. And then these next tier of receivers, we got the small boys. This is Jimmy Horn Jr. Out of Colorado, son of Joe Horn, who was a Pro Bowl receiver in the league. I thought he was bigger. I thought he was slender. I thought he was he's a 6 foot 180 kind of thing. No, he's 5'10. I didn't realize he's that small, but he is shifty. His burst is really, really good. And then we got a guy like Xavier Restrepo, whose burst is not good at his pro day. He ran a 4.8, I think a 4.83, which not great. He blamed it on a hamstring. We'll see, but Xavier Restrepo, not fast, but what he is he's scrappy, gritty, he's a gym rat, sneaky athletic, high football IQ, deceptively fast, blue-collar guy, reliable, gamer, all of those classic white receiver tropes. He's all of those things, but obviously not fast, but his routes are really good. And his agility is pretty good. So maybe he can carve out a role, but that's really slow. People kept comparing him to other slow receivers, but no, that's really slow. And then Tez Johnson out of Oregon, the smallest player in the draft. Again, fast. He did a lot of fun things on film at Oregon, but again, the man is tiny. We get into the tight ends here. We have Tyler Warren out of Penn State, my number six overall player. I've talked about Tyler Warren a ton over the last couple months. Just like a prototypical tight end, like an old school style tight end, and I love it a lot. I think his potential as like a blocker is through the roof. And just what he can provide to you as a pass catcher and as a yak threat and maybe even a backfield threat as a fullback or an H-back. He's a lot of fun. And then I have Colston Loveland as my number two tight end out of Michigan. And he is my number 10 ranked player. Yes, I have two tight ends ranked in my top 10. And Loveland doesn't get enough credit as he deserves, where I think that the conception of this draft where like Tyler Ward is such a better pass blocker and run blocker than Colston Loveland. Colston Loveland like really needs to work on that part of his game. The fact that Colston Loveland is like a willing and still able blocker shows a lot of promise, where I think if both guys like hit their potential, Tyler Warren will eventually end up being the better blocker just because of his frame and stuff. But like Colston Loveland can still be a plus blocker in the league while also still giving you the massive receiving threat upside that he does have. And I think at the start of this, I thought Colston Loveland was some like, oh, he's 6'3", 240, 250. Like it's good NFL like tight end size, but no, he's 6'6". He's like, he's closer to Tyler Warren size, which is something I love about Tyler Warren. Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with any of those guys. I don't know which tight end will be drafted first. I think that they're both awesome. Obviously, Colston Loveland's 23 tape is better than his 24 tape because that Michigan team sucked, but alas. Next tier up. Oh, yeah, that was the tight end ones. This is the maybe tier. We got guys like Elijah Arroyo out of Miami. Again, he just fits the build. And so does this guy too, Mason Taylor out of LSU, Jason Taylor's son. Both of these guys, they just fit the big build, 6'4", 6'5", in the 240, 250 range. They pass all the athletic testing. It's just kind of like a, will you actually turn into a good tight end, or will you just be another one of these guys where I got all the intangibles, but it just doesn't work? And then we have the complete opposite of that. We got Harold Fannin Jr. out of Bowling Green, who, again, I don't know what his role is. I don't know what he's going to be asked to do, but I think that Harold Fannin Jr. is just a damn good football player in general, and that, to me, wins out most of the time in the league. Then we have the rest. Terrence Ferguson out of Oregon, the most athletic tight end at the combine this year. Bit of a riser if you want to take a shot on someone. Terrence Ferguson's not a bad person to take a shot on. Gunnar Helm out of Texas, who false started on his first 40 of the day, rolled his ankle, ended up spraining it, continued with the drills, and he looked absolutely terrible, and that has tanked his draft stock, where I think there would have been a good chance if Gunnar Helm like doesn't sprain his ankle like and is able to like run fully at his pro day instead, like he would have been talked about in probably that next tier of guys, and maybe that's on me for not putting him in that next tier of guys regardless. But again, someone to look at anyways. Mitchell Evans out of Notre Dame, who 24 tape wasn't great, but that's because he was injured to start the year and then was kind of working his way back from the injury. The stuff in the playoffs was enticing enough anyways. Notre Dame produces some tight ends. Speaking of schools that produce tight ends, we got Luke Lachey out of Iowa. The only reason he is on the list is because he went to Iowa, and Iowa produces tight ends. So maybe he's going to be good. And then we have Oronde Godson out of Syracuse, a former wide receiver converted to tight end. I think he's only like 230, like he's on the smaller end, but I think he's like 6'6", 230, so he's like, he is a receiving tight end. You do not put him in there to block, but fun player anyways. We'll go on to the offensive tackles here, and this is my tier one, duh. We have Armin Membu, who is my 7th-ranked player, who, again, I've talked about a lot. A freaky athlete who I don't think that's getting talked about enough, who just shut down every single high-end edge player in the country this year, essentially. His tape is great. He is a right tackle, so we'll see if he can make that move over to left tackle. It is hard, but if he goes somewhere to the Jets at number 7, who just need a right tackle because they got Olu Fashanu, that would be absolutely incredible. Number 2, we have Will Campbell out of LSU, my number 5-ranked player. But as I've stated previously, Will Campbell, my 2nd-best offensive tackle in the draft. Will Campbell, my number one offensive lineman in the draft, and that's why he ranks ahead of Mbeu, because regardless, I think he's going to be an elite guard. I still think he's going to be a really, really good tackle. Arm size be damned, I guess. Josh Simmons out of Ohio State at number 16 here. The injury, he tore up his knee, only has four games of tape from this year, but those four games were like really, really good, and you can see the high-end potential. He's a little bit more of a risk, not boom or bust, because I still think he could be like solid at the end of the day, but he has higher-end potential than some of these guys that I'm going to talk about next. Kelvin Banks out of Texas at 17, where I think Kelvin Banks is going to be a good tackle kind of regardless of where he goes, and he might end up just being a really good guard at the end of the day, and that's absolutely fine, but a player that doesn't get talked about enough, in my opinion. Then we have Josh Connerly out of Oregon at 20, someone who I talked about a while ago, but a former running back in high school who got converted to offensive line, so he has not been playing the position a ton, but you can see his progression over the years at Oregon and how much he's gotten better. And even in this 2024 season, from where he was in week one to where he was at the end of the year, night and day, which is great. And you can hope and you can pray that if you draft Josh Connerly, you are getting someone who continues to develop, because he has all the athletic tools and traits that you could possibly want. It's just the technique stuff that maybe needs a little bit of work, but I like Connerly a ton. So yeah, I have five tackles in my top 20. I think this is a very good offensive tackle class again. Then we have guys with like high-ish potential. Ariante Ursere out of Minnesota. He's huge. He's athletic. He also makes some mistakes that you wouldn't want for a guy who is like an older prospect who's like a senior. Like if Ursery was like, oh, 21, 22, and you're like, okay, well, the potential's still there. Like you would hope that by like your last years of college that those like little timing issues and technique issues would have solved itself, but maybe they hasn't. But either way, the potential is still there. And then we have Charles Grant Jr. out of William and Mary, a small school player, but a lot of people like the tape on him, and someone will take a swing on him. And again, he might slide into guard at the end of the day as well. Then the final tier is the Giants tier with Ozzie Trapio out of BC, who is 6'8", Cameron Williams out of Texas, who is 6'6", and then Anthony Belton out of NC State, who is also 6'6". These are the big boys who can also all still play. And if you're big and you can still play football, you usually have a place in the NFL. So those are names to look out for. On the interior offensive line, Will Campbell. We already talked about Will Campbell. He's awesome. At number two, we have Kelvin Banks, who if he does make the slide to guard, that's what it is. And then we get into the actual guards here. So we have Gray Zabel out of North Dakota State at number 26 in my rankings. Someone who has played all five positions across the offensive line, and I think his best position might be at center anyways, but he will be put on the interior, athletic, and again, the versatility to just play all five positions just shows the athleticism, and also just to know the different techniques of playing each position makes him an intriguing prospect anyways. Tyler Booker out of Bama at number 29. Yeah, Tyler Booker is someone who's getting kind of, like, thrown aside for, like, his athleticism issues. And, like, yeah, he's not a great athlete, and that's fine. But he's also not a bad athlete. And people are like, oh, he can't move, he can't do this. Like, he's fine. Like, no, would I want him pulling constantly out of the guard, like, on run, on, like, outside zone plays? Like, probably not. But you put a dude in front of Tyler Booker, Tyler Booker's going to kick the shit out of him. And I know a lot of offensive lines that could use a guard like that, Miami included, where I don't know if Miami should take a guard at 13. I hope that they don't, but Tyler Booker is very, very good. And I'm trying to remember the name of the Bama guard who got drafted a few years ago. And like, he was huge, but he was also like a bad athlete, where I don't think, again, I said it, I don't think Tyler Booker is a bad athlete. What was that guy's name? I want to say Leon something, and I know it's not Leon, but like, he got drafted by the Panthers, I'm pretty sure. Deontay Brown. Leon, Deontay. It's kind of there. Yeah, Deontay Brown. He is not Deontay Brown. He is much, 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 much better than Deontay Brown while still being a huge person. Donovan Jackson out of Ohio State at number 33. When Josh Simmons went down, Donovan Jackson slid over to left tackle, but he is a better guard, but someone who, again, has a little bit of positional versatility, but I do think he's just going to be a good guard at the end of the day. Marcus Imbeaux out of Purdue, who he was a tackle for them. He's played on the interior, he's played on the outside. We talk about this positional versatility, but he deserves a chance to play at tackle, but if it doesn't work, I think he's going to be a really, really good guard. Like, you want to talk about an athlete? That's Marcus Imbeaux. He does this really cool thing in pass protection where he'll take, like, a jump step forward to kind of throw the edge rusher off. Maybe he thinks it's run or whatever, but he has, like, the quickness to step forward and then get back to, like, his normal pass protection set. Which, again, not a lot of people and not a lot of tackles are able to do. I would love him in Miami at pick 48. We will see. Jonas Savanaea out of Arizona at number 48 in my rankings. Another guy who's tackled but might just be a better guard than he is a tackle. Another solid player, decently athletic, but next year, guys, oh, it's like, might get a starter on day three. I think some of these guys might get a little bit earlier, especially Tate Ratledge out of Georgia. He's got a mullet. He looks cool. Simple enough. Jared Wilson out of Georgia. He crushed it at the combine. Very, very, very athletic center. Wyatt Milam out of West Virginia. Someone who hasn't really got talked about. I think he was also a tackle there, but he's best on the interior. Dylan Fairchild out of Georgia. This is basically just the Georgia boys tier. But that Georgia interior offensive line was apparently like a powerhouse that no one told Georgia or its coaching staff, apparently, but somehow in the draft process, they're all really good. I don't know, probably two of the three or maybe one of the three will actually work out. I guess we'll see. Then we have Emory Jones out of LSU, who, when I watched any LSU game in the last couple years, like, their offensive line always stood out. Like, it was Will Campbell, and it was also Emory Jones, who was the right tackle. But again, he fits best on the interior. And when I watched those LSU games, I just thought that Emory Jones was just an ass kicker. And I don't know, I like violent ass kickers in the interior. Like, put him at guard. I think he's going to flourish. I really like him. Like, this is someone who I think that will might be, like, a round four, round five guy who, like, I would be fine taking in round three because I actually, like, I do believe in his potential. Then we have Jackson Slater, small school guy, Sacramento State. Getting talked about, but again, we talk about that. Lower end competition, hard to judge. Now we're on to defense, and we're already at the 52-minute mark, so I'm going to try to speed this up. 2024 Tier 1. It's Abdul Carter, my number two ranked prospect. And what I mean by 2024 Tier 1 is people have been putting Abdul Carter as like a generational prospect. Oh, he's Miles Garrett. He's Micah Parsons if he wasn't a weirdo at Penn State. He's not. He's really, really good, but I think that Abdul Carter was in the same tier of last year's guys with Jared Verse, Leiatu Latu, and Dallas Turner. Like, I think he would have been in that tier of edge rushers. He might have been the best edge rusher out of those guys last year in my rankings. I don't know. But he's not generational. He's really, really, really fucking good. He's just not generational. Now we have the question marks, because all of these dudes, they got something kind of wrong with them. Mike Green out of Marshall, really good athlete. I think he had 17 and a half sacks, but again, I have spoken about it. There's a reason he went to Marshall. You can look it up for yourself. It's not great, but again, the NFL doesn't care. He's a really, really good football player, and he's my number 13th ranked player. Might not be a great human being, but at the end of the day, the NFL does not care. Mykel Williams out of Georgia, my number 20th ranked player. I've come around on Michael. Like, he's he's really good. And people have compared him to Trayvon Walker, and he's not the freaky athlete that Trayvon Walker is, but, and the hope is that Trayvon Walker continues to get better as he has done every single season so far. But like, if you can tell me that Michael Williams will come in and play like Trayvon Walker his first three seasons in the league, you should be absolutely thrilled with that, where he is a run defender first, and he has the athletic traits that can develop into making him a very, very good pass rusher. But at the end of the day, you might just have a very stout run defender, and that's fine. If you have another guy to pair him up with who can just get after the quarterback, it's great. And I do think he has the higher end potential, but I also think he has a high floor. Like, I just think at the end of the day that Michael Williams is just going to be a good NFL player. We have a guy like Donovan Ezeraku, who's my 21st ranked player out of Boston College. Smaller guy, good athlete, but man, is he a technician. He has a million different ways to beat you, whether it's a rip, a swim, like a hump move. He does, again, he can beat you in any way to get to the quarterback, and that's what he needs, because he isn't one of these freaky athletes. He doesn't have this crazy length. He's a technician. He gets a ton of sacks. He's kind of like a Harold Landry, who also went to BC, who, yeah, when he loses the athleticism, it won't be great. But until he does, I think that Ezeraku is going to be a very good pass rusher. Someone who I thought I'd like a little bit more, and that's Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M at number 22, who, he's just a freak athlete. That is literally it. You want to talk about, like, oh, production, 1.5 sacks? That's not great. And Stewart, like, again, a few weeks ago was probably my edge 3 in this class because I like the freaky athletic things that he can do. But I also liked it when he was doing the freaky athletic things and he was, like, his 6'6", 280, not the 6'6", 260 that he slimmed down to at the combine. Because I like the idea of moving him all over the defensive line. But regardless, he's a freaky athlete. But can he play football? That's kind of the thing that we don't know yet. And I talked about Texas being a school that kind of pisses me off. Texas A&M is a school that pisses me off. Because just this year alone, Shamar Stewart, Shamar Turner, and Nix Gordon, all three of those guys will be drafted on the first 2 days of the draft. And that defense was not that good. Like, I don't know how you have those two guys and Nix Gordon, who was like a game wrecker at Purdue in 2023, and just not use him correctly. Not use any of them correctly. I don't know what their defense was trying to do, but I think that Nix Gordon said that they were basically told to, like, not actually rush the passer, but, like, to more contain, which just sounds like very stupid coaching. And then last year it would have been Shamar Stewart, Shamar Turner, and then Walter Nolan, and they still weren't that good. Like, I don't understand what coaches are doing or if they're overthinking, but Shamar Stewart is, again, he's a freak. Can he play football? I don't know. Oh, God, I saw someone on Twitter say that he can't trust Stewart because, again, he didn't make a big... what am I trying to say here? He didn't make an impact at Texas A&M. And yeah, it's hard to make an impact at a college program. But this guy went deeper, and then he said he couldn't even make an impact on his own high school team. Apparently his high school team in Florida, like, hovered around 500, where I don't know how you're a freak athlete like Shamar Stewart, who is going to be a first-round pick in the NFL draft, and don't severely influence your high school. That's a weird one for me. Should I put in any stock in it? No, not really, but, like, it does interest me. And then we have James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee at number 30. Character stuff, off-field stuff has been talked about him, but we want to talk about, like, oh, guys with, like, elite traits. His burst, his get-off, it is elite. Like, he is the quickest off the ball out of any of these guys in the draft. Maybe not Abdul Carter, but that one trait alone gets him into many NFL teams' rooms. I don't know who's going to draft him. Again, we talk about character stuff, and it's like there's nothing, like, concrete, really, about James Pierce, other than he might just be a dickhead, which is fine. I mean, Tyreek Hill's a dickhead, and he's had a very successful career. But, yeah, we'll see with James Pierce. Tennessee, another school that pissed me off. Like, you had James Pierce, you had Omar Norman Lott, and, like, you're only, like, putting them in, like, on occasions. They're not, like, almost every down players. Omar Norman Lott, who, actually, I'm going to talk about him in a bit, but the next tier of the edge guys, we have a handful of these dudes will be awesome. Nix Gordon out of Texas A&M at 34. I talked about how good he was at Purdue last year, and then Texas A&M, again, they both put on weight, and I don't know why. Texas A&M is weird. Jalen Walker out of Georgia as my number 36th ranked player. I've talked about Jalen Walker. I don't understand what he's going to be. Daniel Jeremiah has him listed as an edge in his ranking. Some of the other guys that I listen to say he's going to be an off-ball linebacker. Not having a defined position is a huge concern. And I don't know how good of an athlete Jalen Walker actually is. At least when I loved Isaiah Simmons, I could sit there and be like, he's an elite athlete. They'll make it work. Obviously, the Cardinals fumbled that whole situation. But, like, I think Jalen Walker is, like, running, like, just before the combine, so I guess we'll see if he's an elite athlete, and that might bump him up my rankings retroactively. I have no idea. But, like, two games of, like, really, really good, like, edge film isn't enough for me to, like, know what he was. And, like, maybe he is just Andrew Van Ginkel, and I think Andrew Van Ginkel's awesome. But do you draft Andrew Van Ginkel in the top 10 of this draft? I have no idea. Landon Jackson out of Arkansas, player number 40 for me. Another kind of like sneaky athletic guy, and that's not just because he's white. But no, strong, powerful rusher. He is a very good athlete. And again, being a very good athlete helps you in the NFL a ton. Yeah, so I think he's going to be productive. Jordan Birch out of Oregon at 42. We've talked about another one of these really freaky athletes. Yeah, one of my guys, too, in this draft. JT Tuimoloau out of Ohio State. Jack Sawyer out of Ohio State. Princely Umon Mielen out of Ole Miss. Braden Swinson out of LSU. Josiah Stewart out of Michigan. Kyle Kennard out of South Carolina. Jared Ivey out of Ole Miss. Ashton Gelati out of Louisville. Oluwafemi Olaju out of UCLA. And Savion Jones out of LSU. Those are a lot of names. So I named, let's just go through this again. Nix Gordon, Jalen Walker, Landon Jackson, Jordan Birch, JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, Princely Umon Mielen, Braden Swinson, Josiah Stewart, Kyle Kennard, Jared Ivey, Ashton Gelati, Oluwafemi Olajuwon, and Savion Jones. Again, a handful of these dudes will be awesome. I think this is, again, it's a very good edge class. And the fact that I can list that many names, and those are just kind of like my secondary guys, the fact that I can list that many guys, and I think that a lot of those guys will be awesome and good starters, is very cool. Someone who I do want to single out a little bit, though, is Savion Jones out of LSU. Someone who hasn't really been talked about, but I saw someone at the Senior Bowl constantly make an impact. And if you're dominating practice and if you're dominating in the game, you've got something anyways. So I like Savion Jones as a day three guy anyways. On the interior defensive line, we have a day one defensive tackle taken in the top 10, and that's Mason Graham out of Michigan, my number 4 ranked player. I think Mason Graham is awesome. I think if this draft class was better, he probably wouldn't be a top 10 pick, but he's a first rounder regardless, really good player. Then we have day two defensive tackles taken on day one. Derek Harmon out of Oregon, my number 15th ranked player. I just think that he is the best overall defensive tackle out of this next group anyways. He has the really good size. He has the athleticism. He has the production. There's no real question marks about him. Other than, again, his ceiling might be lower than a Kenneth Grant or a Walter Nolan, who we'll talk about shortly. But Derek Harmon's still a damn good football player. Kenneth Grant out of Michigan, my number 25th ranked player. Again, he's huge. He's athletic. He is a run stuffer. Like, he's good. Like, will he live up to like that hype? I have no idea. Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss, my 27th ranked player. Walter Nolan is someone like you are betting on the high upside traits that he has. Again, his burst and his get off from the ball, like on the interior, is elite. His ability to shed blockers to get back to the quarterback is elite. He has some off-field concerns. He has some power concerns, but if everything can work out, he could be one of the better like interior defensive players at getting after the quarterback in the league. But again, he has some question marks. And then we have the late two / early day three guys going on day two, which is, I got to fix that. Five, which is Darius Alexander out of Toledo, my number 47th ranked player. He's huge. He's a fridge. He's a run stuffer. Simple as that. Tyleek Williams out of Ohio State as my number 50th ranked player. Again, another guy with like higher upside, good run stuffer, good getter after of the quarterback. That was said poorly, but regardless, I like Tyleek a lot. And then Omar Norman Lott out of Tennessee. The highest pass rush win rate out of any of these interior defensive linemen that I'm talking about. But he only played 86 run defense snaps for Tennessee. Really weird player, but again, if you just want one guy on the interior to just get after the quarterback on just passing downs, that's Omar Norman Lott. Alfred Collins out of Texas, big boy, big boy. TJ Sanders out of South Carolina, a little bit on the smaller edge, like 6'1", like 290, 300 in that range, but still gives a lot of potential. And then we have the day three dudes, Shamar Turner out of Texas A&M, Joshua Farmer out of Florida State, Jamari Caldwell out of Oregon, who he's played all over the defensive line, but you just stick him at nose tackle, I think he's got a home in the NFL for a while. Deion Walker out of Kentucky, massive human being, but apparently he was injured this year, and that's why he didn't do so well. I doubt that would be coming out this late in the process, but I digress. Ty Robinson out of Nebraska, he's a very good athlete. Jordan Phillips out of Maryland. There's already a Jordan Phillips in the NFL who's a defensive tackle who's carved out a good career, so maybe this one does it. Anitas Peebles out of Virginia Tech, CJ West out of Indiana, and then JJ Pegues out of Ole Miss, who the stuff on defensive tackle for him is fun, but what's even more fun about JJ is they gave him the ball like a decent amount in goal line sets, and he got a few touchdowns at Ole Miss, but it's weird because his combine testing, it didn't show up that like he was like a really good athlete, but you watch him run with the football, like that guy's an athlete. Like that guy's a runner. It's not like, oh, they were just handing the running back or handing the ball off to like the big guy who can just move forward for a couple of yards. Like he was hitting the hole. He was making guys miss. He had bursts where, hey, if the defensive tackle thing doesn't work out, maybe he can be the next Pat Ricard. I think Pat Ricard was like draft. He was a defensive tackle and then he moved to the fullback role. Like maybe that's JJ Pegues. That seems like a guy that Harbaugh is going to want to try to find. At linebacker, not a lot of guys to talk about. We have Jahad Campbell out of Alabama as my number 18th ranked player. Shoulder issues and concerns have popped up recently, which might cause him to drop a little bit, but I think he's great. Like, if you want, like, again, if he can live up to that potential, he can be the best linebacker in the league. And I don't think linebacker is a position that gets valued enough anymore, where, like, if you have an elite linebacker, that helps your defense so much. It's just so hard to find elite linebackers nowadays because just how defenses work has changed dramatically over the past decade. But Jahad Campbell is awesome. Then we have Chris Paul Jr., out of Ole Miss. I liked his interview a lot with Brett Coleman and EJ Snyder, and that honestly bumped him up in my rankings, and for the exact opposite reasons. Carson Swessinger out of UCLA dropped for the exact same reason. He was interviewed by Nate Tice, I think, and I just didn't like his interview. I didn't like the way he talked, and he didn't seem all too knowledgeable about his position and what he does. And I, again, this is just me basing it off on one interview, and I know that Schlesinger's liked by a lot of guys and yada, 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 but, like, I didn't like his interview. Simple as that. Demetrius Knight out of South Carolina, who's an athlete. Danny Stutzman got talked about at the combine of maybe being a dude. Sure. Now we're getting into the corners. Travis Hunter, one, obviously. Number one player. I've talked about him already. Again, and I think he's a better corner than he is a wide receiver. His ball skills, his tracking, his ability to make plays, it's just, he's so good. He's so awesome. I can't wait to see him play football. Will Johnson out of Michigan, my number nine ranked player. Put on the tape. Put on the 2023 tape. He's fucking awesome. He's going to be a very good outside corner. I think people are overthinking him dramatically. Jahdae Barron out of Texas at number 11. He can play outside zone, but I've compared him to someone like Brian Branch, where you can just move him all over the defense and whatever matchup you want to put him in. He is a chess piece. He will be a lot of fun for whatever defense coordinator to use. Savone Revelle out of ECU, my number 14 ranked player. And I think I'm probably one of the people who has Revelle ranked that highly. He's awesome. And he has the size and the length to be just a dominant press corner with on top of the elite speed. Like, if he would have gotten the opportunity to run at the combine, so he tore his ACL at the start of the year, but if he would have got the opportunity to run at the combine at his size, at, again, with the tape and whatever, he would have been a slam dunk first round pick, because I think he would have probably run a 4.39 or some high 4.3s at 6'2", 195. He gets compared to the Cromarties, both Dominique Rogers Cromartie and Antonio Cromartie. Again, throwback dominant press corner. I think he's awesome for a reason. He's my number 14th ranked player. And then we have guys with question marks. This is Azariah Thomas out of Florida State, my number 35th ranked player. Another very good press man corner. I think that he doesn't have the athletic traits, but his technique is just awesome, where if he can overcome some of his athletic limitations, he can be a very good starter in this league. Benjamin Morrison out of Notre Dame. Again, got hurt this year, had a hip injury, and hip injuries are scary. But again, you throw on that 2023 tape, it's awesome. Like, he was going toe-to-toe against Marvin Harrison Jr. and holding his own. Like, he was absolutely awesome last year. And then again, injuries are scary, especially hip injuries. And then he's good with the hip injury, supposedly, and all of a sudden he has a shoulder injury. Now it's starting to become a lingering thing. But again, if Benjamin Morrison doesn't get hurt, I think he's probably an easy round one player based on the 2023 tape, but I guess we'll see. Trey Amos out of Ole Miss, another bigger corner. Good athlete, maybe might sneak into the back end of the first. I have no idea. Maxwell Harrison out of Kentucky, another guy who's getting the hype, also kind of has some off-field concerns. Fastest corner in the draft, fastest player in the draft, per the combine anyways. Then we have some corners who are maybe a dude. Darian Porter out of Iowa State, who, again, very, very good athlete, older player, but if he's not like a corner for you, at the bare minimum, he's going to be one of the best special teamers in the league. He has blocked multiple field goals and punts. Gunner on special teams, just again, you draft him in like round four, you have a guy who's going to be playing for you for the next decade. It might not be a corner, but it will be on special teams. Kobe Bryant out of Kansas, best shit talker in the draft. Quincy Riley out of Louisville, smaller dude, nickel corner, but nickel corners are valuable in today's league. Zaw Fraser out of UTSA. Think of Tariq Woolen, and then you have Zaw Fraser, same kind of build, same kind of speed, potentially fun corner anyways. Jacob Parrish out of Kansas State, and then we have Noel Williams out of Cal, who had 7 interceptions last year. I think he has 14 in his career. So the ball skills are there, but is that translatable to the league? I don't know. Now we're finally on to safeties. We have the high potential ones. We got Malachi Starks out of Georgia at number 8. Again, I think that you draft him against safety. It's not the most valuable position, but you draft Starks. You just got a starter for the next 10 years, and I think he's going to be a very, very good starter. And then Nick Emmanuori out of South Carolina, someone who I also thought was going to light more. And maybe this is just me learning about, like, not loving all of, like, the freak athlete guys. But, yeah, freak athlete for his size. Unfortunately, the tape doesn't show, like, that freak athlete, like, ability. Like, he's got the size, but he's not a big hitter. He's not making a ton of plays on the ball. Like, again, the profile and everything that you could want from an athletic standpoint is there. I don't know if the football stuff is, but that's for other teams to figure out. And then we have the other potential starters. Kevin Winston Jr. out of Penn State at 49. Again, another guy with an injury where you turn on that 2023 tape. Mwah, chef's kiss. It is awesome. Kevin Winston, like, could have been talked about with Starks and Nick Emmanuori as well if it wasn't for the injury, but he did run at his pro day. So he's got decent size where I think he's like 6'2", 220, 215, and he ran a 4.4. Less than how many months are, yeah, like 8 months removed from ACL. Like, he's has his full straight line speed back again, and he's just a thumper in the run game. Like, he has no will for his body. He will kill you. A lot of fun. Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame, who was kind of their defensive leader, defensive captain for that Notre Dame defense, which was one of the best in the country. Andrew Makuba out of Texas and Billy Bowman out of Oklahoma. I'm lumping these guys together because they're both on the smaller end, 5'10", 5'11"-ish, both under 200 pounds. But they'll try to kill you. Like, they will actually try to kill you. Where I think it was Connor Rogers and Trevor Sikkema on the NFL Stock Exchange podcast where they were basically saying where if you could take Makuba's brain and stick it in Nick Emmanuori, that would be like the best safety prospect of all time. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. And Makuba, a little bit on the smaller edge, which scares you a little bit because when you play that hard, that physical at that size, your body's bound to break down at some point. But like, he might be a high-end safety in the league for like 5-6 years and then just fall off a cliff. But who knows? But those are the draft guys. Those are the guys who I thought were notable enough to talk about. Yeah, that's it. Next week, it's draft week. It's mock draft time. Final mock draft of the season. I'm very, very excited. It is 7:15, and I want to not go to bed, I guess, but start getting ready for bed because I have a job in the morning now, so I will end it here. As always, if you've liked this, please like, share, retweet, subscribe, tell all your friends, and all that fun stuff. And until next time, peace.